Jesus mentioned on his Sermon on the Mount is, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." But before I embark upon this subject, I want to tell you a little experience that Sheila and I had when we first got married. When we first got married, we went through one of the most exciting times of our lives. It wasn't the most exciting period of our marriage. The most exciting period was what we're going through at the moment. Because, you see, after 60 years of married life, we have learned that it's more blessed to give than receive. Sheila has always said, marriage is not give and take. It's all about giving, giving, and giving. And we've found a great joy in giving, even when it's a discipline. Because you're not only blessing the person that you're giving something to, but you're also blessing God, because the Bible clearly says, it's more blessed to give than receive. Well, at the first year of our life, we spent nearly all our money on buying furniture. And each month, every time we got our salaries and we both got good wages, we would spend one salary and we would spend one salary on furniture, and it was exciting getting something fresh every month, so that at the end of 12 months we'd got our house completely furnished. But this had a very sad side effect, because we became backslidden Christians. We stopped going to church, we stopped reading our Bibles, and we became very carnal in our attitude and very materialistic. Thank God we repented and found a lifestyle of putting Jesus first before anything else. The Bible clearly says that we cannot serve two masters. We cannot serve both God and Mammon. The first commandment says that we must love God with all our heart, all our soul, with all our strength. And we must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto us. You see, there is a God-shaped void in every heart that only he can fill. We not get any sense of permanent satisfaction or fulfillment or security in possessions. It only comes when we invite Christ into our lives. And so let's have a look at this first beatitude, which is one of the most fundamental characteristics of the Christian faith. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The word blessed here has a very special meaning. It means much more than happiness. The Greek word for blessing or blessed is Makarios, and we know what Makarios means when we realize how it's used. It was used to describe Cyprus, and the thing about Cyprus was that the inhabitants of that island could live perfectly well on what was raised on the island They did not need to import anything to live a healthy and happy life. So the word Makarios began to mean being self-contained. And that's what you and I are when we invite Christ into our lives. He comes into our life, gives us his nature, and we are complete. All our emotional needs are met by God. And when God gives us something, it's something which no one could take away. The world can give pleasure, the world can give happiness, but what the world gives, the world can remove. And in John 16:22 it says, "No one will take away my joy from you." I remember when we were worshipping at St. John's Church, there was a lady and a gentleman called Ted and Eva Moran. And they had a young boy, but only one child, and he committed suicide when he was 16. And they were absolutely distraught. But she came up to me one day and she said, "John, you know, God has given me a sense of peace. And the funny thing is, I never asked for it." And that's what God can do for us. What God gives, the world can't take away. So we must remember that what lies behind you and what lies in front of you is nothing compared to what lies within you. My favorite description of a Christian is the life of God flowing through the soul of man. Robert Whitfield is always telling us, the trouble with Christians is they don't realize who they are and what they have within them. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." I can remember one day when I went to the Healthy Man Clinic, and I was told that I was about 7 pounds overweight, and the nurse says, "I wouldn't worry about it, because," she said, "if ever you take ill, your body will be able to feed on that surplus." And I thought about that, and I realised that's what we can do. We can feed on Christ within us. And at St. John's Communion Service, the vicar who gave us the bread and the wine, he always said, "Take and eat, and feed on him in thine heart and faith with thanksgiving." So there we are, blessed. It means that a Christian is self-contained, and he has within him all the equipment necessary to live a fulfilled life. The next word is a verb, it's are, A-R-E. Now you'll be surprised when I tell you that that verb is not in the original manuscripts. If you have an authorized Bible, that are will be in italics, meaning that it's not in the original. And when Jesus spoke that beatitude, how he would put it was, "Oh, the blessedness of the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It wasn't a statement, it was an exclamation of extreme emotion. all the blessedness of the poor in spirit. Psalm 1 it says, Psalm 1 verse 1 says, blessed all the blessedness of the man that worketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. And in the face of this picture, the thought of a gloomy Christian is unthinkable. So the next clause is the poor in spirit. What does that mean? It's there are two words in the Greek that means poor. The first one is comparative poverty. The second word is absolute poverty. And it's this second word that is used by Jesus. All the blessedness of the poor, absolutely poor in spirit. Now, the Hebrew scholars added something to this word poor. And when they talked about a poor man, they talked about a man whose poverty led him to God. He realized that material things weren't of any lasting value to him. They didn't meet his deepest needs. So he was impoverished, even in his wealth, because he hadn't that sense of security that met his deepest need. And that impoverishment made him search for God. So there we are. The poor person, this poor person, will realize things mean nothing, but God means everything. He will be detached from the power of things, for they themselves will not bring happiness or security, and he will become attached to God, for he alone can give a sense of fulfillment. And the last clause is, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It is interesting to note that this reward is mentioned in both the first and the last Beatitudes. It is therefore of supreme importance. The kingdom of heaven is the possession of the poor in spirit, because the poor in spirit will realize their own utter helplessness without God in their lives, and consequently put their whole trust and obedience in him. Now we can acquire this blessedness either the easy way or the hard way. We can find this blessedness by listening to the scriptures. And when Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to his house and live with him. Now we can do it the easy way by saying, yes, I'll do that. I'll do just that because I can realize that money isn't everything. Mammon isn't everything. There's something more important to life than material things. Yes, I'll develop my relationship with God. That's the easy way. Now the hard way is illustrated in this story. There was a young girl who lived in America, and she was extremely good looking. In fact, One would call her stunning. And she met a young man who was equally attractive, and they were both suited for each other, certainly in the looks. And they had a very exciting marriage. They bought a house and furnished it. They built a beautiful garden. They had a smart, fast car, lots of friends. In fact, they'd achieved what they say over the other side of the Atlantic, the American dream. After about a year, he came in from work and he dropped a bombshell. He said to his wife, "I no longer love you. I want a divorce." And within 3 months, the marriage was terminated by divorce. And she was completely shattered. It was at this point that she realized that material things don't give lasting satisfaction. Only God could give you a satisfaction that can last right through time and eternity. However, to one thing that was on her side was that she had Christian parents, and the Christian parents brought her home and spoke to her and said, "Darling, you'll never be right until you're right with God." So there and then she gave her heart to the Lord, invited God into her life. He gave her all he had. He gave her his love, his joy, his peace, his kindness, his goodness, his long-suffering. Everything, every part of his nature, she inherited from him. And she found a job in some kind of charity, looking after disabled people. And the story ends with her saying that, "At last, I found true happiness. Happiness that the world can't take away." The most important thing in life is to first put first things first. It says quite clearly in the Bible, the first commandment is, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength." It says quite clearly, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." There's nothing wrong with buying furniture. There's nothing wrong with wealth, providing it does not interfere with your relationship with God. I hear quite often people saying, "I will not allow anything to come between my relationship with myself and my wife." But a much better way of putting it is, "I will allow nothing to come between my relationship with me and God." So that God will come between me and my wife and bring us closer together. God resides not only in us, but he resides in our relationships. And if we share God, our relationships will develop. Jeremiah 17:7 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." Now, the last beatitude also talks about, "For theirs is the kingdom of heaven." It says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed, happy, gloriously happy. All the happiness of people who are persecuted. Well, we must use the difficulties of life, the hard times, to bring us into a deeper relationship with God. That's all I can say. I had two visions. I had a vision of a man walking in the distance, and along came the devil to walk beside him. And the devil got a stick and hit him with it over the head. And the man took the stick off the devil and used it to help him to walk. The other vision that I had was I was looking at some machinery in a factory, and the devil came along and he threw a spanner into the works. And I took that spanner out, and I used it to tighten up the machinery. Use adversity when it comes. Don't regret it. But use it in a positive way to glorify God, to bring you into a deeper relationship with Him. And thereby I end my case. May you all be richly blessed this morning and realize the importance of putting God's relationship with you as the top priority of your life. In Jesus' name.